Hello, and welcome back to the MRX Lab podcast, the show from FLETSMR, where we investigate and explore topics on the fringes of market research. Today, I'm joined by Matthew Farmer to discuss the challenges of conducting qual at scale and emerging thinking around thoughtful or thick data.
Hello.
Great to have you here. I think this is going to be a really interesting episode, but before we jump in, why don't you give us a brief introduction, Matthew, to you and your role at FLETSMR?
Thank you. I am a senior research associate at FLETSMR, working as part of the research team to design, conduct, and deliver research projects for our clients. I've been with FLETSMR for 8 months now. I have a background in qualitative research, and would definitely say that qual is more my speciality than quant, but I do use both day to day.
I think that's going to be really helpful for today's discussion. So to get us started, why don't you tell me in your own words, how would you describe thoughtful data and what role does it play in a world that's increasingly dominated by big data and analytics?
I would say it's the qual counterpart to quant's big data. So it's thick in the sense that it gives more depth to understanding of consumers' actions or behaviors, such as that giving more depth to insight into their motivations and emotions that aren't adequately captured by big data alone. I think it's definitely something that can play in tandem with big data.
So when we talk about thoughtful data, we are generally describing qual, I think, aren't we? Would you say that's fair?
Yes. And for me, the thoughtful aspect is the key link to qual data in the kind of the probing depth that it provides.
So what would you say some of the key challenges of scaling that qual research are to get to the greater volumes of thoughtful and thick data?
For me, I think time is one of the key challenges. So for example, the time needed to conduct interviews or focus groups, but not even that, just the time involved in arranging like a large volume of, say, interviews, and then the analysis afterwards. The more qual data you have, the longer it is going to take to kind of deal with that large volume of often complex qual data. Just keeping the bigger picture in mind, or like the story of the data in mind whilst doing analysis, can be a challenge when you're kind of faced with like multiple intersecting insights in the data. Also, purely from kind of a recruitment point of view, it can be easy to find a couple of people who match the recruitment profile that you're looking for. But the more you scale qualitative research, the more challenges you can have in finding enough quality participants, particularly if the profiles you need are quite niche. It's going to be easier to find 5 people compared to 200 people that fit a specific profile that you're looking for.
I guess that's a differentiation between qual and quant that's often unspoken. We don't talk about all too often that qual does often focus on very niche, very few participants, and quant is seen as the high volume side of the industry. But when we're talking about scaling qual and getting that richness and depth of insight, we are also starting to expand the volume of qual, and that comes with its own challenges, I guess, especially in areas like recruitment, in very niche briefs, like you said. Have you found any kind of solutions or remedies to these challenges? And also, are they primarily found in technology, project design, or something more fundamental about how we approach research?
So recently, I worked on a project that involved 72 in-depth interviews, which felt like quite a lot, coming from kind of smaller project work. Certainly project design was important around project management. So having clear communication channels with recruiters and participants to ensure that the process of recruitment and arranging interviews is as smooth as possible so that you're not losing time there. But also I think in technology we used, so these are all video interviews done online, which saves a lot of time particularly if participants are in other countries and kind of disparate regions within those countries. You can fit in more interviews in a day than you could if I was traveling around each interviewer. And that can also be important for participant accessibility. Some participants are going to find it easier to participate in qual research using online methods, using digital methods, because it removes barriers of access like travel. That comes with its own challenge of making sure that participants have access to those technologies. But I think it feeds back into compressing the time needed to conduct qual research. Whilst you're scaling up qual, you don't want the time it takes to scale at the same rate, because then it becomes increasingly unmanageable.
So definitely an important point there on finding new efficiencies as you're scaling the volume of qual you're doing, so that the amount of time, the amount of resource it takes doesn't scale up at the same rate. In terms of that analysis point you mentioned earlier, how did you find the analysis of such a large qual project?
For me, we had a kind of a clear template in mind when approaching the interviews, so that I and the other moderators, because some of these interviews were in other languages, we had a template that highlighted to the moderators, right, these are key questions we need to probe, which makes my job easier in the analysis. It's easier to link together those questions across markets and look for comparisons. So you certainly have to take a very structured approach to analysis. So looking at this specific profile of participant across different markets and pulling out the stories and seeing if they kind of how they flow throughout the rest of the data.
So while you do have that traditional qual challenge of really not knowing what to expect at the outcome, there is benefit to working your project design, your analysis design into the very early stages and using that to guide the fieldwork as well. Would you say that's right?
Yes. I think, though, that needs to be caveated by, I think one of the strengths of qual research is that, like you say, you don't know what's going to come out of the data. So you need to be reactive to stories that are emerging from interviews that you didn't expect. And this is where clear communication between moderators becomes important. If you talk to each other about the stories that are emerging, then you can take stock and say, are these the best questions we should be asking? How should we probe these in a different way that kind of gives a deeper insight? So I think with that, having a template in mind, but not being so rigid that you betray the kind of strength of like the nature of qual research to find insights that you didn't know would be there.
So just finally, I'd like to return to the origins and the purpose of qual research in the first place. I wonder how you find that need for in-depth, exploratory, quite varied data, how that sits alongside the need and quite often now the market desire for greater scale.
There's a bit of an inherent tension there. I fully appreciate that businesses don't want to base strategic decision-making on the opinions of a handful of consumers. I imagine that's an easy way for many people to think about qual research. Yeah, I think we risk losing sight of what insights qual can offer. That debt, if we only think about scale in terms of numbers. So I can appreciate that businesses want to base strategic decision making on what they see as kind of valid numbers of participants in the data. But are we only driving for greater scale to kind of say that we've captured 10,000 people's views on a subject? We shouldn't automatically buy into this idea that more is better in terms only of numbers of participants, because I do think you risk losing quality in qualitative research if all you're driven by is the number of responses you have.
An important word of warning there. And on that note, we are just coming up to the 10-minute mark. So before we go, is there one key thing you'd really like our listeners to take away from today's discussion?
Yeah, I think that core tension there in the need to challenge the assumption that thick data must mean lots and lots of data in order for it to be seen as valid or on par with big data. So when does quantity start to strip qualitative research of the quality that it does best?
What an interesting and thought-provoking note to end the show on. Matthew, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. And thank you to everybody listening as well. We will be back next month with another fantastic guest. But until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.